In the name of Jesus. Next Sunday, Epiphany ends with a big, bright bang of glory. And for this last week, before that, we have the gospel of Peter's mother-in-law's flu. She'd been coughing a lot and running a temperature, and so do stay in bed. And that is the spot for the last Epiphany this year before Transfiguration. Mark never leaves us standing around gawking. We're into the next thing before we've gotten the last one. Immediately comes 45 times in Mark. Everything leads on to Calvary, the cross that was laid on him at his baptism with the name Son, Servant, Ebed Yahweh. If we only had Mark, it could all happen in a year. We are into the first chapter. Jesus has begun his ministry, his preaching, called for disciples, preached in the synagogue in Capernaum, and cast out an unclean spirit. The unclean spirit cries out, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This he did on the Sabbath. "What is this?" they say. "Who is this?" The next answer to this question is our text. "And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John." Into this lowly little world of Peter's house comes the one who proclaims his coming as the coming of the kingdom of God, who calls men from their work to be his for his work. Here is one mightier than the unclean spirits who in his presence fear destruction. He drives out the unclean spirit. So he's all the big buzz. What's going on? From that blaze of fame, Jesus stoops down into the dim and lowly house of Peter and Andrew with James and John. If there aren't enough chairs, we can sit on the floor. "If we'd known you were coming and everything in such a mess, it's been enough to be taking care of mother-in-law. You know the bother she can be. And of these fellows have been no help at all, off listening to some preacher chap. That's you." "How is she?" He goes to her. They clear the way to the bed where the woman lies sick. Not really the place for a man, and certainly not something that Messiah should be bothered with. The Holy One of God, whose coming is the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus does it. He simply assumes the freedom of the house. Here, nothing gives him pause. To the bed of the feverish, flustered woman, he comes. There is nothing more important in all the world than for him to be there for her. With all of himself, he is there just for her. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her. And she doesn't have an ecstasy or let fly with a psalm or something appropriate like that. She puts the kettle on. Big deal. Yes, big deal. From that day, she was never the same. She knew to whom she was precious. She, the supernumerary mother-in-law, getting old with all her crackling aches and pains, she was precious. The kingdom of God had come to her with this man whom the boys had brought home with them and their other new friends. She does What's the next thing for her to do? What's right there for her to do? She served them. That's what the Epiphany does with her. Jesus, too, I am among you as one who serves. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. For many, that's Isaiah 53, and ransom too. The Holy One of God, who was there as a servant for Peter's mother-in-law, is among us also this morning as a servant at his table, serving out his body and blood given for you to eat and to drink. Jesus went through the streets of Capernaum to that house and was at that happy table there. If only I'd known you were coming, it would surely have been of her best and her most favorite recipe. Jesus knows of our coming to his table this morning, and he serves out his best. You too are precious, worth his giving his body and his blood for, and for many. Amen.